Hey, I am showing it's 6:05. This is the July 28 meeting of the Westland Public Safety Advisory Board. We are going to be operating off of the agenda from the meeting which was not held because of lack of a quorum from June 23rd, 2021. There is no changes other than the appropriate dates. With that, I will call the meeting to order. And if we can get an approval of the agenda, any additions, changes, modifications, other than the dates that we will go through in a moment here to update. If no changes, can I hear a motion to accept?
Motion to accept the agenda.
Is there a second?
Sure.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, with that, let's just reintroduce everybody for the official list here. I'm Tom Friedland. I am the chair of the advisory board. And to my left is...
I'm Austin Ruffner, and I'm a new member as of 2021 on the board. I work locally as a nurse at Dornbecker Children's Hospital. And I've been in Westland a couple of years now.
Okay.
Chris Duncan. Been a member for...
Ever.
Quite a... No, you've been here longer.
We invented dirt together, I think.
Speak for yourself, bud. No, I came on because I have been... I was active in earthquake preparedness during my professional years in Alaska, and just have a general concern for the well-being of the community. And at the time, we had a broader focus, and I also had been involved in community policing activities and public housing. So I came on with dual interests. And I'm a retired administrative social worker, so I work with a lot of systems over time.
Okay.
My name is Dale Fortuna, and I live in the city for 75 years. My name's on the plaque out there. I helped build this station.
Yes.
I'm a retired firefighter. I've been on a lot of committees, but I have never been on this committee, and kind of wanted to see what direction our police department is doing in the city and their agendas. I was hoping that the police chief would be here tonight, but I guess he doesn't come to these meetings.
This is our acting police chief.
You're the acting police chief, and you didn't say that when you introduced yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So, Peter, you're the acting police chief.
Well, I am.
Thank you. How long have you been in acting?
16 months.
16 months. And where are we at in the process?
They just posted the job on July 20th. It'll stay open for a month, so it'll close August 20th.
August 20th. And then
they will have, I'm assuming, some kind of a process. Because I'm applying, I don't know exactly what the process is. They don't tell me that stuff.
Yeah. Have you applied?
Yeah.
Well, good. How long have you been in the department?
I've been in Westland about 2.5 years.
Where you? What other department?
I retired out of the city of Portland after 26 years there.
Oh, you're in Portland. Huh.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm Rory Bielostowski, the council liaison.
And Peter, you kind of introduced yourself.
Yeah, I'm Peter Mona. I'm the police department's liaison to the PSCB.
Okay. We have some leftover minutes to approve. This is from our meeting that was held via Zoom on May 26. Chris... I think has captured the happenings of that meeting fairly well. I need to throw it up as to whether we can approve the minutes as they exist, or if anyone has any corrections to it. We'll entertain a motion to approve after you've had a chance to review them.
Well, I wasn't there, but it seems
it could be
accurate.
Okay.
I motion to approve.
Is there a second? Second. Okay. Chair can't second. All in favor? Aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, minutes are approved. With our last meeting under old business, we had sort of a breakdown of discussion of our, for lack of a better term, town hall on disaster preparedness shortly after the winter storm. And the goal with that was to look for ways that we as a committee that has been involved in establishing some public access information on disaster preparedness can better educate the community on ways to lessen any impact of the systems that might be compromised in the event of a disaster, whether it be an earthquake, ice storm, long-term power outage. Where we stand at this point of, as far as inquiries and actions that we're looking at following up on, Chris?
Well, and for those of you kind of new, there were two of us that were kind of the leads on that kind of as a subcommittee. Of the more traditional, it was called Map Your Neighborhood, that was carried forward by this group, which was very earthquake-centric, shall we say, in terms of organizing
Map Your Neighborhood, as opposed to the CERT response, was to educate a neighborhood unit in disaster preparedness to survive when resources weren't available. And so everyone helped each other out.
Right, and it was the reason it was called that was because neighborhoods could identify their self-help area, and that was the map. But it was always confusing to people. It was always difficult to get a group to come to somebody's living room at a meeting, and then COVID came, and the whole thing kind of stopped.
Yeah.
So, but that gave us time to really kind of ponder. In the meantime, the woman that really had this going, Judy, stepped down from the Safety Advisory Board, and so I tried to kind of piece it together and think about how to reinvent it, and so we kind of unveiled it at this town hall of a kind of a more one-on-one type of approach, to where we could offer to do consultations, kind of work off of a checklist of things to talk about, because there are a number of us that have been involved in some other kind of formal training, be it a CERT, be it training through our work, whatever, that can help fill in the gaps of where people are, just to see if we can get more people better prepared to be a little more self-sufficient when the next ice storm, power outage, be prepared to evacuate, whatever needs to happen for them. And then if they want to coalesce as a group, that's fine, that's great, you know, we can do that. So I put together a PowerPoint. I presented it to one NA neighborhood association at a meeting, the Cascade Summit Group. It was well received. And then I had a issue came up with my husband feel very ill and passed last week. So I'm just now climbing back out of that and will kind of look to regroup now that we can do some more type of one-on-ones. I want to get together potentially with you, Austin, and Tracy, if she's still on our...
She is. She had an emergency that kept her away
yeah,
today.
Yeah, she had expressed interest.
I got the email
too,
on that
just
a little.
Kind of, so that we can get this checklist so that no matter who is on the call list, so that if anybody calls, says, hey, can we have a consult, and I'll see who's available when and can send them out. It'll be the same kind of approach.
What?
Not all on you.
To each one, exactly.
Yeah, and with that
I
in
was
mind...
I was just trying to build the framework to hand off. So
what
that
is
we,
it that we can do to help you?
Well, right now, give me a little more time.
Okay, that's fine.
Like I say, I'm just beginning, but it's a project that's near and dear to my heart. Judy and I really wanted to see our citizenry here just a little better equipped, a little better prepared, because that takes the pressure off of our public servants, our public responders, to do what they have to do in order to get their assessments done and get themselves geared up. And so that's basically where I see.
Okay.
Now, I don't know where we stand as far as an emergency preparedness staff member.
I can provide an update if you'd like.
That would be great, because that's part of the overall approach. And then I have one other update to provide, too.
Okay.
So they posted the job for the emergency operations manager. They received, it has closed, they received 23 applications.
Really?
Several of us have gone through those and selected those to move on for the first round of interviews, which I believe are the week of August 12th. And they're from all over the country.
Okay.
From here in Texas and Georgia and Washington.
Who's this for again?
Emergency Operations Manager for the City of Westland. So somebody to actually come up with a plan that's not housed in Public Works or just the police department. Well, not a plan, but a whole process of how we would respond to, you name it, disaster, right? Fire, earthquake, ice storm, whatever. And getting all our resources, getting tied in with the county level, getting tied in with the FEMA level.
Uh-huh.
A lot of it is grant writing to try and get stuff back through our funding, FEMA funding, and stuff like that. And so...
That's
a heavy lift.
Yeah. And will they be then answerable to the city manager?
Yeah.
Or will they work?
They're going to be housed at City Hall,
second
floor.
Okay.
And they report right to city manager.
And then is it possible they may be assigned to staff this group if we ever...
Or liaison.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense, right?
At some point, they would do a liaison.
Yeah. The vision is to work with disasters and emergencies, I would assume. Right?
Yeah, well, that's how it seems like now that the police oversight group looks like it's going to remain.
When I talked to the city manager, he said that was a possibility of having the emergency manager be the staff liaison to this.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's something we need to get into a discussion a little bit later here.
So. Yeah, we need to get somebody on board first, so...
Well, yeah, but I mean, but even as far as...
No, I read the job description. It was rather inclusive, and it did involve the community liaison, so I'm assuming that the idea would be to interface with us as a group or any other groups within the city advisory capacity in that way. So,
and I mean, I would be interested in even our participation in the finalist interviews or just having some input... if we could, just as we did when the last chief was. I think it's an appropriate role.
Yeah, it seems like their role is most closely aligned with this committee versus any other committee, and I think that your presence is great, along with 12th and Valley Fire and Rescue and stuff, but like your duties and their duties encompass a lot of other things, whereas their duties are just so closely aligned to our current mission.
Yeah.
So.
Current makeup of the board is really kind of terrible.
Do they have any time frame on hiring?
Like I said, the first round of interviews would be August 12th.
Sometime by fall.
I could see somebody, you know, hired in mid-September.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they need to do a background or not.
I'm sure they would. If they're going to be in that type of capacity, they're going to have to build some background.
If we can't be there, we could probably get questions written down that could be asked of this person.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
And they could answer our questions and get back to us if we couldn't be there.
I think a lot we'll just have to see where things fall as they go through the process and what they end up with after the preliminary rounds. They may not like any of the ones they selected. Who knows?
Yeah.
But if you could convey our interest,
I will do
that. That would be great.
I think some of the other aspects that we have on here on our ongoing agenda items really depend on you getting some more feedback and established before we look at creating any subcommittees or anything like that. So any other preparedness news that...
Well, yeah, one other contact that I made, there was a group from the Latter-day Saints Church that is really making an effort to carry forward the Map Your Neighborhood effort. And they asked me, they wanted all of our remaining booklets that we have. Judy was having a very tough time because they aren't, apparently the state of Oregon isn't printing them right now. Back up the ones that were had the multi-layer, I don't know that I have one with me today. I only brought my notes. But at any rate, I gave her, you know, maybe all but 10. And what they are attempting to do, both in Lake Oswego and in West Lynn, apparently they are a district, is to have each of their members organize their own neighborhood to follow the format of the Map Your Neighborhood group and get those established. And so what I asked is if they could at least report back the little areas so that we could put on a master map, and that way you know, because that was one of the things that Judy and I were trying to do, was, you know, color in those areas that had held formal meetings and were doing follow-ups. They're even talking about going to the level of drills, of having, they want to have these meetings done before the next shakeout in October and try to have these accomplished. So given that we've had trouble getting quorums, I've been preoccupied, it was like, well, cool, the ball is still going down.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of their culture is preparedness, so.
Sure. I'm sure when the new person comes on board, you know, for one of the opening volleys would be to connect with all the area emergency managers, right, with the county, with the state.
So she says, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, we had neighborhoods that got together about evacuations and preparedness and stuff.
The Map Your Neighborhood
program has been going on. It's been around for years.
It's been at least 10 years.
Who were the two that were doing it before?
So this is kind of a
Grant Oaks.
It's a continuation of the same program. Yeah.
Grant Oaks was the one, and...
Grant, yes.
Yeah,
Grant Oaks.
Denny. I don't remember his last name.
Denny, yeah. Grant and Denny were the champions before Judy came along, and I supported her and the effort. And yeah.
Okay. Any other preparedness information?
I think that, the other thing too, and maybe you know a little more about, I did get a blast, but I didn't get a chance to read it, that the county is convening a group. It almost sounds similar to what we're doing here on the city level. I didn't have a chance to pursue it further, but it's kind of a disaster preparedness council or something.
I haven't heard of that.
Not surprised, right? I think the fires in the ice...
Something about that strikes a chord, and I may have seen something in the paper. I don't remember at the moment.
Yeah. I get little email updates.
Yeah.
So.
If I think about it, once I deal with my phone issue, I will searching and see if I come up with something on that.
I'll let you know. I'll pursue it too. I just didn't have an opportunity before this meeting.
Hopefully, will be something else. Maybe the incoming person can help coordinate with. Maybe there isn't any need for coordination, but maybe it is possible.
Yeah, I just think we need to keep that on our radar so that we don't have too much duplication of effort.
Totally.
And also have the most efficient kind of use of the citizens' time. So I just wanted to bring that to the forefront, see if anyone else had any detailed information.
Our other safety project we've been involved in, and not here much lately, is the teen driver safety program. This was through Tire Track Street Survival Program for the benefit of our new people. This is a program that runs throughout the country. They put on a one-day class for teen drivers. They sign up for it. It's about $70-$80 a head. In Portland, they take them out to a closed course out at PIR, and there they will have both in-classroom and behind-the-wheel training in dealing with cars in a hazardous situation. They will, they're recommended that they bring the car that they're likely to drive. They have to be a permitted or licensed driver with at least 6 months driving background. And the idea is to simply give them better ways to control a vehicle in a hazardous situation. They put them on a skid pan. They have them do rapid stops, avoidance of collisions. Fascinating program. You can see a news clip on it. Coin TV has one that was put up about 2-3 years ago. It's about a 60-second blurb on the YouTube. If you Google Street Survival and Coin, it'll usually come up. But what we've done over the last couple of sessions before COVID, we had some funds that were donated, and we have sponsored somewhere around 3 students per session from area high school age or teen driver age students to attend the class. The idea being that we'll fund them to attend it. They in turn can talk to their friends and hopefully get better exposure and eventually more teens learning some safe driving tips. The program was suspended because of COVID. They do have one event scheduled outside of Seattle. It's the only one I've seen that's been open in the area. I think it's for September or October. They have not opened up Portland yet. I've been in touch with our contact with the group, and at this point they don't know what's happening. So we continue kind of waiting and seeing. The biggest obstacle we've had is that the dates that they usually do the class in Portland is in September, October, or March, and because of the holiday cycles, it becomes a really short window from the start of school to potentially select a scholarship recipient and get them cleared and approved to attend the class and not preclude other people from attending. And then it's been a problem of trying to figure out what criteria we're using to select the attendees. Surprisingly, it's just been hard getting people to be, the students to be aware of it, despite a lot of efforts through the school resource officer, cooperation of the school in making announcements on it. And so as COVID wanes and normal life starts returning, this will probably pick up again, hopefully in the spring. And we've got at least a little bit of time to figure out how best to select our individuals as we move forward. But until we know if it's going or not, there's no point in doing much more with it. Yes?
Question.
No.
After they get through this course, do they get a deduction on their insurance?
It's up to the individual insurance carriers. Some will recognize that.
Do we have a list?
No, we don't. Okay. They have not compiled one. Their concern is simply to provide the material to the students. From my experience with my daughter attending the class when she was going for her driver's license, had her drive out there first thing in the morning, and by the time she left, she drove home, and the confidence difference in her driving abilities was just phenomenal. And then she subsequently did her behind-the-wheel test shortly after that.
Sounds like a fantastic program. I belong to Lions Club. We give out scholarships, education at Westland. And the school is terrible as far as communications. They're just terrible. It sounds like a really good program, and it could be something that we could work together with the Lions Club.
Love some
into the program we could maybe work something out where mm-hmm. you come to one of the meetings and give a pitch, and the scholarship thing is gets difficult because
yeah.
there's a lot of prejudices and stuff. But sounds like a great program.
Well,
thank you.
We were what we ended up doing primarily was one, getting them to apply, and we'd only get, say, 3 or 4 applicants. And some of the screening was have them, draft a short paragraph on what they do about teen safety, and then just kind of give a ranking and select them, and send all 3 to the class. Or if we had 4, see who could attend, and then if there was a prohibition for one of them to attend, then, we just sent what we could. But it is a pretty good program. They try and limit it to those under 21 years of age. If they have openings, they will allow up to about age 27. They've been up until COVID. They were booked out, months in advance. So, but it was a phenomenal program, I think it will be good when it comes back.
Thank you.
Okay, in times past, when we were meeting in person, whenever that was, we oftentimes would have a short program presentation that might be of interest to the group. We had a segment here a year or so ago on the incident command structure. We had one on the drug recognition experts. I'd like to see if we can bring that up as an entity again with our meeting in September. I do have a possible topic. Rusty Amos, who's one of the senior associate or assistant district attorneys with Clackamas County, does a lot of work on sex trafficking. Portland is one of the leading sites for sex trafficking in the U.S. because of its position on I-5. And it is, a surprising problem that is not well known. And he can come in and do a brief 15 to 20 minute presentation. It's tentatively confirmed, but I needed to get you guys feedback if that's something you wanted to do, and hold that at our next meeting.
What do you think, Peter?
Yeah, it's a good program. Rusty runs a good shop up there on the human trafficking stuff.
Did you see a lot of it when you were working?
Yeah, I ran the sex crimes unit for 3.5 years in Portland, and so we got a lot of that, unfortunately. So it's, if people think that it doesn't happen in Westland, they're all mistaken. So
yeah.
To be able to see the signs and know what to do and how to intervene is impactful.
I had originally talked to him about this pre-COVID. And had that lined up in conjunction with another presentation he was going to be doing for the state reserves, police reserves. And COVID has just put everything on hold, but I had occasion to talk to him about a week or two ago and brought it up again. His September date is open. October date would have to be somebody else from his group, and he works with both groups within the DA's office and then some support organizations that dovetail with the victims of sex trafficking. So I will check to see if we can confirm that for what.
I would like to know from this person, he's going to come and talk to us, but what do we need to tell the public as a committee?
Lot of it is simply being aware that the problem exists and that maybe there's some things that you might notice in day-to-day encounters. The one episode that stood out in my mind in recent times that occurred out of Sacramento, where the gate agent was checking in 2 relatively young girls who were getting on an Alaska Airlines flight to the East Coast out of Sacramento. Something just didn't seem right to it. They were booked in a first-class seat. They didn't know who paid for the tickets. And so she got a hold of the airport police department. Their officer came out. It turned out that these 2 were likely have been seduced by somebody to fly out for the movies or something like that, and had the agent not caught something unusual in that behavior, they might have just disappeared in the woodwork. And you know, we have a lot of marginalized people. Our homeless population is ripe for things like this. Even our kids in good homes that may have some family issues where the parents don't necessarily know what's going on with the kids disappear for a couple of days. They don't know anything. They don't report it. Next thing you know, they don't know where they are. And so there are things that I know I'm not aware of that we can be a little more attentive and attuned with. And the idea would be that he can help share that with us, with the greater group that's viewing this remotely, because we do get people that watch our meetings on replay on YouTube or off of whatever they've recorded on. And hopefully that'll reach out. And just simply letting others know that it is a problem, and it's a problem that most people just don't even think about, let alone know what to look for. Any other topics, though, that you'd like to bring up in our future meetings?
Well, my thought is we have a lot of, like, inertia of old things that we've done, which mm-hmm. I think are good, and, you know, we don't have other things to utilize our time with, so. And they provide benefits. So my question about this sex trafficking, mm-hmm. I don't know, work group or educational thing.
Just a brief presentation.
I mean, it can't hurt, but I don't know if there's a way to really, like, think about, and I know we've done this on, like, the March meeting, kind of like, we basically came up, okay, we're going to focus on disaster preparedness. But is there other ways of trying to determine how to focus our energy that best serves the citizens of West Lynn? Because, I mean, there's, you know, like a sex trafficking thing, 5 or 6 of us here. I mean, I would like to know the information, but I also want to be aware of how finite our time is and mm-hmm. our resources, and thinking about, like, is there anything we could look at to see what are the things that are causing harm in West Lynn? Like, is there any data that the county or anybody has? Like, I'm all about, you know, evidence-based practices, and I don't know if there's somewhere we could gather information either, like, on what is harming or killing people in West Lynn, or, you know, how we can prevent that, or what do the citizens want, like, us to focus on? I don't know. Those are my thoughts, which doesn't give us an easy, like, thing to do.
I've got a couple thoughts on that. One option is Human Change Alliance member having that presentation, because a 15-minute presentation on that is not going to do any justice. Really maybe get in front of the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So facilitating those talks to educate the community on a much larger scale than is going to show up at this
and
meeting.
That was also part of the idea, is that if we, you know, have this, we can open it up to those interested in the community that might get a taste of it and then go on and ask for a larger presentation somewhere else. Any other areas? Don't want to disrail your thinking.
Were you thinking of neighborhood associations?
To include those groups too. And then getting those things on, trying to facilitate those. Because it's an impactful and meaningful thing. Hmm. The other thing you talked about was data-driven stuff about mm-hmm. West Lynn, what's impacting West Lynn. And really, you'd be surprised at what's impacting West Lynn.
That's what I think is, like,
it is our number one complaint, speeding. Mm-hmm. And so what can we do as the Public Safety Advisory Board about getting the message out to you, or even locking your car doors at night. I mean, our calls for service would go down by about 10-15% if people would lock their car doors at night so the cars don't get prowled. And it's not hard to open the door and they grab whatever's there, to include firearms, laptops, keys, garage door openers. Then they go into the garage and burglarize the house when they come back later. So it's that kind of stuff that is advising our citizens on how to be safe. And just getting that awareness out. Rory, we had a meeting last Friday. The weeks are coming together. And he had a great idea about it. How do we get this as a public service announcement out to people to lock the doors, right? So on a very small scale, we were going to put a notice in there in the water bills or in the bulletin, right? Precious little piece, right? This is lock your doors, please, right? I don't know who reads that, if it's going to make an impact at all, but it couldn't hurt. And getting it on that kind of a scale. So we do have things that impact our community, not necessarily murders and, you know, that kind of stuff, which is good. It's what we all live here, or you guys live here. But it's impactful. We can make some more.
Yeah,
in addition to the emergency preparedness stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one reason I'm here, traffic.
But there is a traffic board
exactly.
as well. And so I think we really have to be cognizant of what our focus
what
is.
What is our lane?
Is it yeah. not somebody else that could be... Because,
yes,
I mean... We could take on a lot of different things.
To be clear, we're not dealing with traffic complaints. Like,
yeah,
I want to
yeah.
put a stop sign on my street. That's not us. That's traffic complaint. Mm-hmm. But to push out the public safety announcement or how to educate the community about speed,
sure.
about whatever, is I think, is squarely in our lane.
Yeah.
Because the traffic safety committee doesn't do that. Mm. They
more
review
about
applications
like,
for a speed bump or a stop sign mm-hmm. or making the streets wider, stuff like that. Because I go to those meetings too. So these meetings are different.
I think that it would be worth our time to gather information from not just the police department, but maybe like the county health department or other areas that might give us like a little direction. And it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that we don't have to, like, I think we should go forward with having a meeting with the ADA and see where that ball rolls, you know. But I think we should have in the back of our mind, like, you know, thinking of really thoughtfully about how we can best use our time. I don't know exactly how to do that, but
well, part
that's
part of the idea, though, is by bringing in different topics, we are creating interest among us to go in different directions, hopefully into the community if we bring in enough outside interest. If I could distill it down, I don't know if you ever listened to that flash drive I gave you with the MP.
The burglary guy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did. I
I'd love to be able to condense that down from the hour and a half that it is. It's essentially a briefing that was given by an LAPD detective back in 1957 about a burglar that ravaged hell in the city. For about 2 years, and so much so when they finally caught him, it changed the stats for the city throughout the entire county, actually. But he would do little things like occupied residential burglaries. He would go in, he'd throw as soon as he got in, he'd turn the heater all the way up to mask his sounds, because that would be a normal sound that they'd hear in there. They wouldn't hear him rummaging around, and he always made sure he set that back to the original setting.
Oh, okay, I thought he was trying to like make it really hot.
No, he's trying to just mask his movement.
Neighborhood crime, is that under the public safety, this committee, or?
I don't know of any committee that handles that.
Well, that is our charge.
Yeah.
If you read what the council tasked us with, and that's where I think the confusion lies, because
mm-hmm.
in the years that I've been on here...
We focused on disaster preparedness.
Well, there's been more of that, because there seemed to be nothing coming as far as reports. The questions would be asked, but we wouldn't get them as far as, is this a problem? Is this a trend? Is this, you know... And we wouldn't get the stats, so that we wouldn't know about strategy. And so I... kind of, that's where I'm glad that you're here, because now that there is this other group, that's my big question.
Yeah,
is
we want to know where we're supposed to go.
What is our lane? What is our charge now? Because we've never done what our charge says.
Well, about probably 3 weeks ago, the mayor asked me that same question. So part of the reason I'm here is that I wanted to ask you all that question. What specific, like, do you like working on disaster preparedness stuff, or would you like to do? I mean, I was talking to Peter last week about trying to figure out how to launch a public safety initiative around locking cars, because it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, property crime in West Linden affects so many people. So, you know, that was something I was thinking of. But I wanted to hear from...
Well, in the neighborhood, we had to go to a class, and somebody came, I can't remember how long ago this was, and they came and we put signs up in our neighborhood. We had to attend this class or meetings. And I thought at that time was a good time for the police maybe hand out material like keeping your cars locked, you know, or keep the garage door closed, watch your neighbors and report suspicious looking stuff. And I thought that really was a good, I don't know if that falls in this realm or not, but that's...
It's a good question to at least talk about. Does it fall within our realm? I'm not saying it doesn't, but is, yeah.
Well, this is where the police can really sell themselves.
So we've reached out to neighbor associations. Hey, you know, you want to come to meetings? You want stuff, right? Oh, really, only about four ever kind of ever get back to us.
Well, I think our question to the council has been, we kind of drifted into this area on disaster preparedness, safety issues that have come up, but we're not sure what they want us to do. And it's not so much, you know, our interest, it's what they want us to be doing, because there seems to be sort of a statement, a mission statement in the charter that doesn't seem to completely jive with what we're doing. And
now there's been another, you know, there's the oversight committee that's been created since
exactly.
That was so.
Well,
there's
yeah, but we've always been in a position not to be that oversight. We have been more of an ancillary advisory role, even though we get misidentified as being some type of oversight. The name implies that, and that's kind of the confusion. But yeah, I think, if I remember correctly from what Denny had said, we were originally created when the then chief wanted to have something of a community stamp of approval or endorsement of some of his ideas and projects, and that's what this kind of formed into, and we've kind of drifted into some different areas. And so, you know, I guess the idea would be, what does the council want us to do? What does the department want us to do? How do we, you know, TVFNR, what would they like or benefit from? You know, we've tried to kind of find a happy medium, and it still leaves us kind of floating in, you know, doldrums, not knowing which way to go.
Well, on your preparedness and stuff, when I was in the fire service, we had people that were professionally trained in Tuolumne Valley or Portland, Lake Oswego, Milwaukee, Glassville. They're all being trained, and they're every day they're being prepared. It's hard for us as a committee to go out one time a year and try to push it. I mean, I'm not putting it down or anything, but like Tuolumne Valley, they got tons of people that are.
Mm-hmm.
They're all professionally, they all know what they got to do. Really, what you guys are saying is to help your neighbor, which is good, but the professionals really, they do it day in and day out. We don't do it day in and day out, I guess. Let's get to what I'm trying to say. Most people say it'll never happen to them or whatever, but...
Well, and that's one of the things that the mindset has to be changed, that it does happen. And, you know, when we do have an event, you know, it is appropriate to capitalize on.
I think that there's incredible opportunity here with to lay out, because we have three new council people, new mayor. I don't know when this charter was written. I wasn't around when this PSCB was created in the first point. But since my involvement in the last couple of years, we've been clearly in the teen driving and map your neighborhood realm.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is a incredible opportunity, if you would like to redefine what you all want to do, right? Remember, we're an advisory board to council, right? that we, you all are an advisory board to council. So we come up and we say, hey, listen, right, these are our public safety initiatives that we want to, are important to us. We want to work more closely with the neighborhood associates. We want to do this, we want to do this, we want to do this. That's what we tell council, and they need to tell us, right?
Yeah.
It's how do we impact, how do we get the numbers of this meeting up so that people care? Mm-hmm. And people want to zoom in, and people want to show up here, and they're interested in what we have to say, because right now it doesn't appear that they are,
yeah.
Right? They want to know what we want to say after disasters happen, right? But then it's just to tell us how bad we did, yeah. Right? So yeah, we got to own all of our mistakes too, and if that's one of our pieces of our pie, then let's hammer it, right? Let's get the emergency manager guy or gal on board, and let's move with that. But there's all this other stuff that we could be doing for our neighborhoods that is squarely not being done by anybody else. And so, but it's going to take effort and commitment and buy-in.
Yeah. And I think some leadership, too, from, I mean, I'd really like to get some clear guidance from
Well, we've also had a problem about, of not having a dedicated contact individual. We had one was with us for about a year. And then, you know, there's always been a shift that's always been in flux. I don't think we've had the same person in that role lasting more than a couple of months. There's never been a contact person within the city that was a regular media contact or that we could reach out to. It was always this person to this person to this person, and that person left or retired. And it's just been in flux for probably the last 5 or 6 years. And you know, it's a problem, but I think it's a problem that you know, the department's dealing with right now. You've had a fair amount of upheaval at the upper echelon over the last couple of years. A lot of public outcry over an incident from a year or so ago. And so we're all trying to regroup, find where our feet are, and it doesn't help that it's been that way for a while, but it's eventually going to stabilize. It sounds like we've at least got a soon-to-be point of contact to work with that might help alleviate some of those issues.
I think we're having the same problems as some of the other clubs I belong to because of COVID, but it's mm-hmm. still, people are so busy. If we could come up with a group and show the public what we're doing and helping them and make a change. Or, I mean, right now they don't see anything. If we could hang our hat on something, does that make sense? We need to hang mm-hmm. our hat on something, make our committee, okay, this is, you know, and then we might get more people, or we might put something in the paper, or I don't know, I'm not just searching right now.
Sure. This is the first time we have met face-to-face in over a year. And, you know, while Zoom or WebEx or whatever it is made some of the meetings possible remotely, even then it was a year that we went without any type of meetings. And so, you know, it's going to take some time for us to get back into it, get the interest into it. That's kind of partly why the idea of having something as far as a brief in-service, for lack of a better term, educational component would be a good idea, I believe, that it does build that interest, does, you know, give you a different approach, a different side to where we are and what's going on in the public safety sector. So
we need something from the city. We need some guidance.
Yeah.
That's why we have city council. That's why we have a mayor. That's why we have a. We need some direction. We're sitting here just. We don't know what to do, where to go, what can we do and can't do. We can't even do anything as a committee. To you, as counselors, you guys should have goals. What's your goal as far as us? Have you ever talked about this safety committee?
So when we did our councils, we were going to try to assign certain goals to advisory boards. I brought that up, and some others brought that up, but then it never really came through. So what I wanted to say, Chris, and I totally hear what you're saying about asking for leadership, and every meeting,
yeah.
or the mayor recently started putting on the agenda citizen advisory group updates, and I'm happy to bring this up, our conversation today at that meeting. I can't personally say, here's what I want you all to do, because I'm, you know, I don't speak for the council, but I want you all to know I'm hearing what you're saying loud and clear, and we'll be able to have a discussion. And the reason I asked earlier, and this can be ongoing, you don't have to tell me right now, but I, you know, I can get this put on an agenda with others, and we can, the council can discuss what we want this board to do. But I really want, aside from the, us setting the goals, like I want to hear from all of you. You know, what do you want to be working on? Because it sounds like you're enjoying working on the Westland Ready stuff, or maybe you don't. I mean, you're
that
working
that doesn't
on.
Need to define us as a board,
no,
right?
No,
that could
be
a,
one piece of
that should be a part of it.
It would be silly to throw that away, because that is what we are seem to be currently doing, you know. So, and since there's not another advisory board that's, you know, maybe closely aligned with this emergency preparedness, like, I think it makes sense for that to be included, but maybe there's, like, a broader statement that should be amended in the charter, I guess, if it's, like, What do we do?
Well, I'd like to know, just I'm a new member, and I'm sorry, but what do we do? What does the safety board do? Do we change miles per hour? Do we...
Traffic safety committee changes, well, that's who hears all the requests.
But something. As, you know, the issue of advising the public or coordinating with the public or sharing the information with the public, like was pointed out, as far as locking vehicles, yeah, that does fall, I would think, within our purview as to maybe finding ways to promote that or advise that back to them. But how do we do that?
That's but it's also not story. Then our job to do all that.
Exactly.
We are advising the council on how to allocate resources.
Yes. Yeah,
so we can totally, like, you know, work with community members to get, like, you know, community groups and stuff involved. I think that's within our realm. But, you know, when we're meeting once a month for an hour, like, our abilities are limited.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the first questions they're going to ask Peter. How can you improve the police department and the safety? And so the new police chief is going to have a lot, I think, to have a lot put in our direction. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right.
And to take what Austin says further is, you know, if we hear from you, chief complaint is speeding or the biggest piece we're seeing, then perhaps, you know, Alicia or somebody comes and brainstorms with us and we throw out ideas of public campaigns, but it's for that person to conduct, not us.
Well, this is where we can make you look good.
I don't know if that's possible.
Appreciate the gesture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm just
but
saying,
that keeps the
you
rules.
Know, you could go to somebody and say you're having, you know, I mean, it's nice to have friends.
I don't know. You probably know better.
No, I get you 100%. And like I said earlier, this is a great opportunity presented here. It really is. I mean, yes, you want direction from council, but I'm telling you, council is ripe for, you give them some great ideas and they're like, run with that. Have at it, right?
Yeah.
Because these are lanes that are not being filled right now. There is another board that does this. We got budget, we got sustainability, we got all this other stuff. We don't have the neighborhood crime in your, you know, in your head stats kind of stuff going out there. We just don't. And we need that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, emergency preparedness, I think, is in our wheelhouse. I think our board is currently made up of a bunch of great talent. Man. We got extra firemen, we got current firemen, we got a couple of nurses at least that I know about. Like, we're kind of in that kind of bubble. You know, why wouldn't we run with that and try to make that? And if we, when they hire the person and if it works out, great. We start advising them, stuff like that. Hey, hear what the shakeout. Do this, do that, do this, do that. That's what we do. That's the wheelhouse.
Well, this person they hire is going to have, he or she is going to have their own agenda.
Yeah.
But they report, you know.
Yeah.
there isn't anybody in the city that is going to have the experience that this person comes in emergency management. I mean, there's some pretty good resumes coming in an interview. So we've been doing this 5 to 20 years, right? Who knows how good of a person they are, but they know what they're talking about and how to move forward with the plan and building relationships internally, externally, all those things.
Okay.
Can I add something?
Sure.
I mean, when I was reading these minutes, and they said it was discussed that social media was too heavily relied upon by public agencies during our disaster. I mean, I really felt that during the ice storm. So, like, one of the things I'm interested in doing is with the new emergency managers, figuring out how, coming up with a communication plan, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would like the Public Safety Advisory Board. That'd be something that I would suggest, you know. Can we work on this? Because I think that would be super impactful to get beyond social media. Because I was posting information about our water system, and I was basically the only way that people were getting that information. So I'm like, this is just messed up. And how many people are on the community page? 6,000, 8,000, but not... We have 26,000 people here. So, yeah, that sort of thing, communication plan and for emergencies, could be something really impactful that public safety could work on. And
yeah.
Among other things, whether we do, you know, public safety announcements or public mm-hmm. service announcements about crime,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. So I just wanted to bring that up. That was one thing that I'm very interested in as a counselor, and I'm sure you all are too. So that'd be something that I'd...
I mean, case in point again, there was the cooling center last month, and now we've got another heat wave coming. So few people knew that it was activated.
Sure. Did anybody come to the cooling center?
A few, Jerry said a few. So it's like, how do we move beyond that and get to where we're not just posting something on Facebook? Because that's what we do. And
yeah.
In some ways you have to go old tech.
Yeah,
very much so.
Especially there's no power in your city for several days.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's something...
Or internet.
Just wanted to share that with you.
We got a lot of people in the shortwave radios
mm-hmm.
when the power was out, and that was really big 10 years ago.
It still is.
There was a group that started, I haven't gone to it, but there was like a, you know, ham radio club of...
Yeah, there's a disaster preparedness
sort of
group on that.
In
Clackamas County.
A couple of them in West Lynn.
Oh, are they?
The gentleman that came.
The LDS, they're big on all the...
Do we still pursue that, or I don't know, that's good communication right
Yeah,
there.
Well, it's helpful if you've got people in the neighborhoods that are up and know what frequencies are being used. In some ways, I've said it before, going back to the old AM or FM low wattage broadcast, like the old Conelrad system, if you remember you should remember that, tuned to, you know, at that point, it was 640 and 1240 on the dial for information on, you know, civil defense issues back in the 60s. Number of cities throughout the country do maintain a low-watt broadcast capability that falls under certain FCC guidelines. As long as you anticipate some of the problems you'd have with the hills here, most likely using AM as opposed to FM, you'd be able to reach, you know, everybody who's got, you know, a car radio. So
when I don't know about a person's car gets broken in, and we call the police and they come, what do we expect from them? What I mean, if a police, my car is broken into, and they break the window, I call the police, they come. We have to leave that person satisfied that we're doing something. If we don't leave them satisfied, they don't give a damn about the police. Why should I call them? They're not going to do anything. They're not going to catch me. We need, when a police officer is confronted with a situation, they need to leave that person positive. And not going to say, we'll look into them. They got to go above and beyond more than that. I think that's how we get a really good report with the police. I expect a little bit more out of them. I guess that's one reason I'm here.
I'm not sure how that how that fits into our domain.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
Well, I think that can be thrown into the next meeting. I don't have a calendar. I'm guesstimating if we were into the fourth Wednesday, it'd be August 25.
August 25th?
Is that a Wednesday? That'd be the next fourth Wednesday if my manual method is right. I'm assuming we want to try and pick these up on a monthly basis at this point? Or do we stall until September?
I thought we were
going
to take August off.
Six, one half dozen, another. I've got surgery on my hip next week, so I'm going to be laid up for a couple weeks, and hopefully I'll be able to move by the 25th. But
is the council going to... So one thing that might be nice is just our next meeting, you report back to us, Rory, what... you know, was discussed about our direction.
I'm going to bring this up on August 2nd, and I was going to say also, if I think you all have my email, or I can send an email to the Public Safety Board, just so you have it, but if you have any ideas, you know, I don't know how deep we'll go into a discussion on the 2nd, but
okay,
we definitely can. I'll probably suggest that we put it on an agenda for a future.
Okay.
Very soon after that, like, and we're on recess for August.
Okay.
So it'd probably be a work session in September.
So it may or may not.
So put it off till September.
Yeah. Our meeting?
Yeah.
We'll
I don't
have
it. That's my question. What's the date in September? The fourth.
Well, that would be the 29th. Oh, the fourth one.
Fourth
is
would
the
be
fourth?
The
fourth.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be the 22nd.
22nd. Yeah.
Okay, and I think that works out for
what day is it?
For Rusty. Fourth Wednesday. 22nd of September.
22nd.
I wouldn't mind trying to see if we could meet on August, in August, but I agree. I don't think it's, like, imperative, but, you know, since we've already missed Gene and stuff,
yeah.
I miss it.
Again, six one half dozen another.
Yeah. Do we want to try and see, like, who would be available then, and even if we would have a quorum, and then determine it that way, or...
Well, we kind of did that for this meeting, too.
Yeah.
I'd like, to, you know, we've got, what, 7 members. I'd like to see a little bit more than 4. One did notify us of an emergency just before the meeting, so I don't know what happened with the other two. I don't know if they responded or not.
I think our odds are better in September.
Yeah,
I agree.
Let's shoot for September. I mean, I'd have a few less distractions between now and then.
September 22nd?
Yeah.
That is my kid's birthday, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it or not. So.
Well, bring him here.
Right, yeah. Bring to the
birthday.
Sex trafficking work shop. That would be great.
Yeah,
Peter, do we still have a person at the high school?
Probably not the best.
SRO?
Yeah.
It's a brand new person because the last person is leaving the field of police work to go start a food cart.
Really?
Chasing his dream of being a food cart operator.
Oh.
So we have a new one starting when the school year starts.
Okay.
So in fact, he just was at a SRO conference at the coast getting his feet wet.
Is there any updates on the city that you have that you haven't given us already?
Yeah.
I can share that from a disaster recovery standpoint, we've done a lot of the work to get the debris out of Marius Young, and we got an update a couple weeks ago about all that work, and I think almost all of it has been taken away, so that's great. And the thing that we're working on right now is about the street tree replacement. We lost 1,500 trees in the ice storm, and we've got the price tag. It's going to be about $1 million to replace it. And so the question we're looking at is, you know, do people want the city to? I mean, we don't have that kind of money, so we'd have to do it. One option is a utility rate increase of $11 a month for a couple of years, I think, to raise that money. But maybe 1 year, or we could split it up over a couple of years to make it less impactful. But so we're looking into that right now.
What was the estimate to replace?
So it's $1 million for the stump grinding and the tree replacement, then an additional $300,000 for the most imperative work, which is tree trimming of low branches to allow, like, the street sweeper to get through and clear all the storm drains. And that's going to be $300,000 because of the low-hanging branches from the ice storm. So the total that we would need is $1.3 million, and I'm hoping that we do, like, a survey or something to, you know, figure out.
We're not going to replace the trees that took down power lines, are we?
No, this is this is the street tree, which typically falls on the homeowner under the code. Ah. We determined that since it was such extensive, 1,500 trees.
Not the cities, if the trees are on city property, easements, stuff.
No, it's still the homeowner's park problem.
Yeah,
it is.
And
the area in front of your lot. You own that.
Yeah, well, you
no, you don't own it. You have to take care of it.
That's right.
That's the catch.
So the question is, do we want to replace?
Right.
Well, we're trying to get public input on that. So if any of you have opinions on that, even though it falls more in the recovery from a disaster, that's something we're weighing, and hopefully we're going to do a survey.
I just now got my roof fixed from that.
Yeah.
And we might do an advisory vote. One counselor suggested that, and I actually like that idea of whether people want to have us spend that kind of money.
Determine a carbon advantage or a carbon offset advantage to see whether we could tie it to the science?
For
reimbursement?
No, not just for purpose. You know,
if you're going to spend the money.
Question of to replace, how much carbon absorption did we also lose by all of these trees? We live right by freeways here that are, you know, pumping out a lot of stuff that impact our kids' lungs. And we've had this absorption going, and we've now lost a significant amount. And so I would love to see.
That sounds like something to bring up in
kind
the council.
Of a student that can, you know, do this as a PhD project or something to determine this advantage, because then it becomes not just an aesthetic thing, but it becomes a public health issue. Yeah. But strategically putting those trees to where.
Is there anything else that falls under our venue that we need to discuss, or can I entertain a motion to adjourn? We've gone a little beyond our hour allotment.
I second.
Is there a second?
I second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? We stand adjourned until September 22.
Tom?